Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I'd also like to read just a few verses of scripture from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And one more place, just a couple of verses from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 17 and 18. Isaiah 41, 17 and 18. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. And with those verses being read, I want to go back to what I read from the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And I want to take the title of the message this morning from these words that Jesus spoke concerning the conversation that he was having with Martha. In Luke chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus told her, one thing is needful. And that will be my title here this morning, one thing is needful. I want to talk to you today about the needs of the human family. I want to speak to you today about what I believe the Bible clearly teaches us is the greatest need that the human family, that the human being could possibly ever have. I want to, and the reason I read, and I generally don't do that, but the reason I read from different passages today is there are three points that I wanted to try to establish in the beginning of this that I believe were covered in those various places that I read. And one of those points is that we are needy creatures. We are. Sometimes people try to act like they're much more sufficient than what we really are. Sometimes out of pride, people say, oh, I don't need anything. But the truth is, we are needy. We need things all the days of our life, we are going to be in need of different things. We are just needy creatures, and that's just a fact. Now, today, if we were to go around the room and we were to share with each other what we think we need, We would probably, no doubt, find out that there are times when we confuse what we want with what we need. Because truthfully and honestly, in this life, you know, and I want to talk today about our physical needs. I want to talk about our spiritual needs. But, you know, honestly, our physical needs, really, we don't need a whole lot, actually, do we? I mean, actually, the Bible teaches us that. I believe the Apostle Paul covered that very well in his epistle in 1 Timothy. He said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And really, you know, we really don't need a whole lot. We have a lot more. All of us here today have a lot more than what we actually need. God has blessed us. I believe it's well known in the country that we are privileged to live in. God has blessed us in this nation above and beyond what we actually would need to live our lives from day to day. I mean, anybody here today that doesn't have something that you really don't need? We all do, don't we? I mean, we possess things. I'm talking about material things. We possess things that we really don't need. And I think that, you know, all of us, if we are to be honest with ourselves, we would have a difficult time being content with nothing but food and raiment. We would. I mean, we may as well admit it and be honest. We ought to be. I mean, that's what the scriptures tell us, that we ought to be content with that. But I'm afraid that we have spoiled ourselves for so long that it would be difficult for us to accomplish such a thing, to be content with nothing but food and raiment. And I don't hear a lot of amens, but that's all right. I'm not going to beg for one. I still believe it's true. I believe it's true that we have much more than what we need, and we would have a difficult time adapting our lives by living. There are people in the world still today, even, you know, as we approach 2010, there are people in the world today that basically live more or less on what they need. But we don't. I thank the Lord for His blessings, but I think also in many ways we've really spoiled ourselves as a people. But thank God that He will supply our needs. So we are absolutely a needy people. And the second point I want to establish is that God knows every need that we have. God knows them. Now, you know, you and I, we, as I said already, we may confuse that. We may confuse something. We may think that we need something when it's actually what we want. You know, my oldest son, I remember when he was a little boy, he really tried to pull one over on me. You know, your kids probably never tried to pull anything on you, but mine did. He tried to pull one over on me one time. I believe he was in first grade, and he said, Daddy, he said, I need a calculator for school. And I said, you do? And he said, yeah. We were at the store, actually, when he told me. He said, I need a calculator for school. And I said, you need a calculator? And he said, yeah, I do. And I said, well, how come I didn't get a note about it? You know, why didn't your teacher send me a note saying that Nick needs a calculator for his class? And he said, well, I want one. And, you know, that's the way we are a lot of times. We think that we need something when it's actually what we want. So we may deceive ourselves and even confuse ourselves. But friends, I'm telling you, God knows what we need. He knows exactly what we need, both physical and spiritual. You know what? God even knows when we need a trial in our life. God knows it. He knows everything that we need, and He knows when we eat. You read the story of Joseph, and I want to encourage you to do this. You read from the 37th chapter of Genesis through the 50th chapter of Genesis and complete that book, and you read the story of the life of Joseph, and when you read about him, you will know that God knows exactly how to direct providence in our lives and make everything turn out exactly the way that it was supposed to turn out. You know, we, a lot of times when things come our way, we say, oh, Lord, I didn't need this. you know, this is the last thing in the world that I needed. But, you know, Joseph, no doubt, when he was a young man and his brothers threw him into that pit, and when they got a chance, sold him to those Ishmaelites that were traveling by, and he ended up there in bondage in Egypt. No doubt he could have looked at that and said, Lord, I sure didn't need this in my life. But we find him several years later saying to his brethren, you know what? This is exactly the way that God intended it to be. God knows what we need. God knows how to direct our lives. God knows how to govern us from day to day. And if we will yield to the Lord, and that's a hard thing for us to do because we have our own desires and our own ambitions and our own goals in life. But if we will yield our lives to the Lord, He will supply our need, and God will direct our lives where it will turn out the way that God would have it to be. You see, He knows what's best. He knows the beginning to the end and everything in between. So God knows our needs. The third point I wanted to make is that God is able to supply our every need. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that today? I mean, really, do you cling to that today and trust that today, that no matter what, God is able to supply your every need? Have you found yourself in need? I'm not talking about going back to what I said earlier. I'm not talking about something that you want or something that you desire or something that's shiny and glittery that you think would make you happy and you just feel like you've got to have it. I'm talking about, I want you to think with me for a moment about finding yourself those times in life where you have found yourself in dire need. Friends, I've been there, and I'm persuaded to believe that there's many here this morning that know exactly what I'm talking about. Where you come up against something where you knew you weren't sufficient for it. You knew that there was no way that you could supply it. You had to turn to God, and you had to beg God to supply your need. And you had to come before God as a beggar and plead your case before Him and say, Lord, I'm in need of this. God can supply our every need. Paul wrote that to the Philippians and assured them of that. My God shall supply your every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There in the 41st chapter of Isaiah in 17 and 18 where I read, the Lord said there, when the poor and the needy seek water, they need water and there is none. I'll open up fountains of water to them. God, listen, friends, if you need water, and we may, Lord willing, may get into this in a few moments, but if you need water, God will supply your need, and it won't just trickle down. He won't just give you a little drop. He said, when the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, I'll open up fountains for them in the wilderness. Jesus spoke about that spiritual water when He spoke to the Samaritan woman there at the well, and He spoke about the natural water there in Jacob's well, and He said, you know, whoever takes a drink of this water, they're going to get thirsty again. And we know that that's true from a physical standpoint, from a natural standpoint. We've got to drink water, and then we've got to drink more water, and we've got to continue to drink water because we get thirsty again. But listen, I remember a time in my life, Brother Wheat, I'm glad today there's many of us that can testify to this. I remember a time in my life when I went to Jesus in great need, and He opened up a fountain and gave me a drink of water that I've never thirsted again. I mean, it satisfied my soul. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the moment when He gave me that living water, satisfied my soul, and it's been satisfied ever since. And He told that Samaritan woman, whoever drinks of the water of Jacob's well is going to get thirsty again, but who shall drink of this ask of me and I'll give him living water, and they drink of this water and they'll never thirst again. And the reason they won't thirst again is because there'll be a well of water in them that will just spring up and spring up and spring up into everlasting life. And the older I get and the closer I get to heaven, the happier I become. I look forward more and more all the time to being with the Lord. The happier I get, the older I get, the happier I get that I've been saved by God's grace. And it just continues to spring up and spring up and spring up. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth what? More and more unto the perfect day. Martha was like so many people in the world are today. Jesus was right there. The Lord was right there. And she had opportunity to sit at his feet. I mean, can you think of anything any better than that? Can you think of any better way to spend your time than that? She had the opportunity, brethren, to sit right down there and be instructed by Jesus Christ to sit down. You know, we read about in the scriptures, when you had a teacher, it was common for the students to sit at the feet of the teacher. Paul, when he was trained in the Jewish law, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and she could have sit there at the feet of Jesus and heard instruction from heaven, heard instruction from Jesus, but she was worried about serving the food and worried about everything else in the world. And friends, listen, there are people in this world today, I mean so many people in this world today, that are worried about everything except their soul. They're worried about everything else in the world. They're worried about how big a house they're going to live in, what kind of car they're going to drive, how they're going to buy this and buy that. I mean, just consumed with the troubles and the cares and the worries of this life. All the while they are headed towards a devil's hell. Listen to me, lost friend, today. There's one thing that's needful. One thing for you today that's needful. And that is that you find the Lord. That you come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. If you're lost today, I want you to understand this, that there's never been a greater need that man has ever had. Friends, you need a Savior. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need that nothing else or no one else can supply. You know, you may need something from a natural standpoint, and there may be several different suppliers. There may be several different people or companies that could supply that, that could give you that part or that material or whatever it is that it needs. But listen, you have a need today. You have a spiritual need today. You have the greatest need that you're ever going to have if you're lost and undone. And there's only one that can supply that need. You'll never get it anywhere else. You know, the need that I had in my soul when I was lost, I had to come to Jesus to have my needs met. I had to come to Jesus. And when I did, when I really came before Him, meeting His conditions, He supplied my need according to His riches in glory. Are you seeking that today that you really stand in need of? Or do the temporal things of life mean more to you? I read about a man in the scriptures. Jesus spoke a parable in the 12th chapter of Luke. He spoke a parable about this man that was rich according to the standards of life, according to the natural standards of the world. This man was rich. His ground brought forth plentiful. He had a great harvest. I mean, he had such a great harvest that he didn't even have room in his barns to store it all. And his plan was to tear down those barns and to build bigger barns. And then to take everything that he had and to store it in the bigger barns. He had way more than he could possibly need to survive, but he was so greedy that he said, well, you know, since I've got more, he didn't say he was going to give it away or help somebody else with it. He was going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns and store it all up for himself. And then he was going to say to himself, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. And you know, that parable that Jesus spoke about 2,000 years ago, it fits so many people today. Does it not? I mean, are there not so many people in the world today that are exactly like that? That's all that they're thinking about is how shiny their car can be, or how big their house can be, or how big of a bank account they can have. That's all. I mean, it consumes them. Day after day, it consumes them. That's all they think about, or how well they're going to do with the temporal things of life. And all the while, they're lost, they're in sin. Friends, I'm going to tell you something right now. You may have heard it a thousand times, but I'm going to tell you something right now. It doesn't make any difference how much you gain or what you have. You're not going to take one bit of it with you when you leave this life. The 23rd Psalm, I heard Sister Shuffet's class this morning talking about that. The 23rd Psalm, I believe, is what they're talking about. And that's a psalm that David, I believe in that psalm, it describes to us a man that God has supplied his every need. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God will supply your every need here. God will supply your every need in eternity. If you'll look to Him, if you will look to Him, He'll give you everything that you need. When I leave this world, I'm not taking one piece of material with me. Not one material possession am I taking with me when I leave the walks of this life. If anything I do have, if that's anything, I'll leave it here for somebody else to use. But I'll tell you what, when they lay my body in a box, when it's cold and lifeless, I'm glad that I know that my greatest need has been met. There'll be no opportunity to seek for it after that. One thing is needful. Jesus said, Martha, Mary has chosen the good thing, and it will not be taken away from her. How about you today? What will you choose? Will you choose the temporal things of this life, or will you choose that which is needful? If you're lost today, your greatest need is to be born again by the Spirit of God. That's your greatest need, friend. And the only place you're going to get it is to come to Jesus. It's the only way that you're going to find it. Isaiah chapter 41. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. If you'll bring your need to the Lord, He'll supply it. If you'll come to Him, if you'll seek that living water, He will supply your need according to His riches and glory. Let's stand and sing. Brother Ronnie, lead us in a congregational song, or if you had a song on your heart that you want to sing, just feel at liberty. But let's stand.